Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I traveled a lot and preached. My first real connection to this church years and years ago was I was traveling and preaching, and sometimes the stuff I preached in one day turned into a 6 weeks Bible study. While I was away, the Lord spoke to me. How many of you ever had the Lord speak to you in the darkest hour? How many of you ever had the Lord come to you and say something to you when you were not expecting it, just kind of out of nowhere, he just says something to you? How many of you know that the Lord, when he speaks to you, sometimes it seems so complicated and you get confused about it, but then there are times when it is absolutely sure. You know exactly what he was saying. You know he said what he meant. You got it. You didn't try to apply it to somebody else. You got it for yourself. How many of you know those times? Well, this is one of those times for me. So here's what happened. A month ago, Terry called home to her home and talked to her family about her mother, June Snyder, who's visited here. It's Terry's mom, my mother-in-law. She's 87 years old. And she was talking to her mom, and her mom couldn't think clearly, and she couldn't get her words out clearly, and she couldn't find her clothes. And Terry called her sister and said, "What's going on?" And it had been such a slow, gradual thing that they hadn't noticed it like Terry did, having been gone for several months. So Terry went home. They took her mom to the doctor, and they discovered that she has a brain tumor. They can operate on it, and it's affecting her eyesight. It affects her thinking. And so Terry was there. I was there for those tests because we were really concerned. Well, this coming Tuesday, in the middle of the night, after Terry had been there for a couple of weeks and she was working real hard and helping her mom and cleaning and helping her get her things together and so concerned getting to all these different doctor's appointments and the cancer treatment center and all of that, she got up in the morning, at 1:30 in the morning, she'd been sick. She got up and she was going to go to the restroom. And when she did, she passed out. They called it syncope. They said it was either a stroke or a heart attack. They can't figure out even now. Her doctor here in town, her surgeon, Dr. Bank, who helped actually design the pacemaker, it's a brilliant man, they said they can't figure out what happened. But she was going to the bathroom, and she passed out suddenly and fell over and hit her head against the corner of the wall at about waist high and splattered blood all over the walls. And then she hit her head on the floor, and it split her head wide open, and it gave her a concussion. We got her to the hospital that night because we thought something was wrong with her heart. They looked at her heart and went through all that business and said she'd had this cardiac event. But then they put staples in her head and stapled her head back together. And then after they'd gone through all this heart stuff, the following Tuesday, I went back after the state fair and said, "Hey, you guys have done all this stuff with her heart and all these things with," but nobody's checked her neck. And they found out that she had fractured her neck. She broke her neck when she fell. C7, they call it an anterior wedge fracture. She had hit so hard that she split her vertebrae in half. And so now she's got heart problems and concussion. She's sick because of that and dizzy and can't keep fluids down, which is affecting her heart and her diabetes. And she's got a broken neck. And she's sick and weak. And so that off, on Tuesday we got, last Tuesday we got a brace for her neck, a spine specialist, and she'll be seeing a spine surgeon here. They don't think she's going to have surgery, but someone to follow up on all this therapy. So here's the story, all this that's gone on, and that happened on, and then I went back after she had fallen, only to find out then that she had broken her neck. She'd lived a week with a broken neck, and then we got all that. So last Thursday, I woke up early in the morning for prayer like I do, and I went out and sat down in a chair there at the house at June's home to pray. And do you mind if I ask the Lord the question that I'm going to tell you? Is it all right with you? I said to God, "What are you doing?" I wasn't mad. I just said, what are you doing? And he said to me the words of this message: "I'm working on your testimony." Now, that may not sound profound to you, but immediately what that meant was, I'm going to get through this. and I'm going to get through it and be able to talk about it. So by working on my testimony, by saying that to me, I thought he said it to me. You may wonder, that's all right. I think he said to me, I am working on your testimony. And from that day, which would have been a week ago, Thursday, I've been aware of the presence of God. And I want to tell you today, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through right now, you're coming through it and you're gonna have a testimony. Tell somebody you're gonna have a testimony. All right, would you stand with me, please, and let's read together. Thank you, Nate. Thank God. Would you turn with me, please? I've lost the order of my verses. Do you have the order of my verses back there so I don't confuse you at the computer? What's the first verse that I asked you to put up for me? Thank you, Revelation. Start with the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. I text my verses in today, and after doing that, I thought Terry was going to come to church with me. But she got up, and she was so weak that she couldn't walk, and I put her back in bed, and I think Brittany's probably gone to be with her now. And I forgot the order that I sent them to you. I want to read from Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Everybody say heaven. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him. Somebody said, I overcome him. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You want to know how to bring the kingdom? The power, it says. The authority. We'll give thanks to God and testify and thank him for his blood, because you overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And what God's doing is making you a victor. He's making you an overcomer. You think it's horrible. You think it's... I just want you to stand for this. Just stand still. This will put you on your seat. I don't want any more miracles. Look at me. People say, we don't see miracles like we used to see them. I don't want to see any more. Because if you got a miracle, you needed one. And I don't want to go through the needed one to get one. You don't get miracles unless you need a miracle. I don't want to see more miracles. I'm done. I'm done with miracles. Miracles are great. I don't want to need one to get one. Huh? He said, don't be silly. You're going to need more. I know I'm going to need them, but I don't want them. I'd rather not have the need. Lord, I pray a revelation on your people today as you've given it to me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I believe I said Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, 1 through 5. Can you... Thank you. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to be done on time today, but can you bear a Bible study for just a few minutes before I preach? Can you bear it? Are you ready? Are you hungry for the word of the Lord? All right, because I'm going to talk to you about your testimony. I'm going to talk to you about your witness. Something you're convinced of. How God is working on your testimony. Tell somebody that. Just say, God's working on your testimony. God is working on your testimony. And from that word that morning, I've waited several days now, studying and praying and preparing for this day. And the reason I mentioned before that I've traveled and some sermons became Bible studies, I don't know that I can get all of this done today, but I'm going to lay a foundation for you that's going to build your faith. This is Hebrews chapter 9. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. Everybody say tabernacle. A tabernacle was set up, and in its first room were the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. So the tabernacle, this tent, had a room, the first room called the holy place, and behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. Everybody say the most holy place. So we've got a tent that's divided in two parts by a curtain, the holy place and the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. How many of you heard of the Ark of the Covenant? You heard of that? The Ark contained, everybody say contained. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm about to read to you. I've known all of these years, but I'm going to bring to you a revelation from this. So watch carefully. Because the fact that the Ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. The Ark of the Covenant is also called the Ark of the Testimony. And I'm going to show that to you in just a moment. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, they were written by the hand of God on stone tablets. And God gave them to Moses. And we read here that in the Ark of the Covenant was a pot of manna, Aaron's rod, and the testimony, the covenant, housed in this box. Please go with me now to Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to get to the original plan for a testimony. Exodus chapter 25, verse 16. Do you have a Bible? Or are you reading electronically? Some of you have a Bible. Does anybody? Some of you can't. Good. If you have a Bible, would you look at the markings, maybe right above verse 10 in your Bible? Should have a heading where the chapter is separated. Do any of your Bibles have a heading for that portion? Chapter 25, verse 10. What's it say? The Ark. What it is these verses are describing the furniture that Moses is supposed to put in that tent, in that tabernacle that we just read about in Hebrews chapter 9. And so this is the details now. These few verses talk about that ark, the Ark of the Covenant that most of you acknowledge that you'd heard of. And it says in verse 16, this is Exodus 25, 16, then put in the ark the testimony, which I will give you. Okay, look up here just a moment. So God is talking to Moses about this place of worship. He's planning out what we call the tabernacle, the tent, a place that God is going to meet with his people, the ceremonies that they're supposed to carry out. It all points to Jesus, because they would make sacrifices of blood, and on the Day of Atonement, one time a year, they would take the blood back into that room behind the veil called the Holiest of Holies, and they would offer that blood of an innocent animal, and God would wash away their sins. What a tremendous story. What a ceremony. And so what I've done is picked out this part called the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark, and it says, when you build it, when you get this all together, put inside of it the testimony that I'm going to give to you. So everything is in future tense. God knows exactly where you're going to be in the future, and he's preparing you right now to hold a testimony. And when you get there, and when it happens, don't be amazed. Don't complain as if some fiery trial has come to try you that you didn't know about, because he's going to build your testimony. And the first thing he says to Moses is, now, I want you to build this ark. I want to give you the dimensions. You can read it there. The dimensions of it, overlay it with gold and all of this. And when you have that there, I'm going to give you something to put in there. Now, you are the modern day temple of God. You are the furniture. You are the Ark of the Covenant. God lives inside of you. God speaks to us. He spoke to Moses from atop the ark between those cherubim. That's who you are. God is preparing you today. And he's also got a testimony. You may not want it. You may not want a miracle, but he's going to do a miracle because you're going to need a miracle. You're not done with the battles of life yet. How many of you wish, I just wish it was over. I wish it was over. I'm 62. I wish this was as old as I was going to get and as achy as I could get. And I wish I'd already gone through everything I'm going through. But I'm going to tell you, he's working on my testimony. He's working on your testimony. I wish it was the last time I ever felt low. I wish it was the last time I was ever hungry. I wish it was the last time I had to worry about my kids. How many of you wish you'd just be done with that? That's over. Okay, it's all done. Welcome to reality, baby. Please look again. Now, I just want you to look at verse 16. Then, it says after you get it all made, then put in the ark the testimony. Now, please go down to verse 22 and look how suddenly the words are changed. There above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, he said, make an ark and put in the testimony. But before many verses is out, he now calls it the ark of the testimony. Do you see? It's not just the ark of the covenant. It's not just an ark. It's not just a piece of furniture. But now we're going to call it the ark of the testimony because housed in it is the testimony. I want to just tell you something. I haven't worked all this out yet. I've only had about 10 days to work on this. But it appears to me that the testimony was the valuable thing. I always thought, until this last 10 days, that the ark was the point. That's where God's going to meet the people. But I'm going to tell you, he said build an ark because I want you to put something inside there. It's going to house something. I'm going to put something in that ark. And it's going to be a witness to the world. And it's going to be a witness to the world that my hand, the divine hand of God, can touch supernatural, can touch natural. And when God touches a stone and writes on it, it's written. It is written. When Satan came to Jesus, you know what Jesus said? It is written. And I'm going to tell you, when trouble it comes into your life, if you've been reading the Bible, if you've been studying, if you've been coming to church, if you've been worshiping, if you have received the engrafted word of God, the enemy will come against you and you'll look him in the eye and say, it is written. I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. You've got a testimony. And you need to celebrate for what God's already done for you. You need to celebrate what God has done because it's in there. Hallelujah. So he called to Moses and said, now when you make this thing, I want you to put the testimony in there. And before the chapter's out, he starts calling that piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, what we call the Ark of the Covenant, God called it the Ark of the Testimony. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. Would you please now look with me at Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Numbers chapter 16. The book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Chapter 16, please. Numbers chapter 16. Just a moment. Now, I just want you to look at something. Then we're going to go to chapter 17. Gentlemen, chapter 17, 10 is the verse. But would you, if you have a Bible, would you look at the headings over chapter 16 and in the middle of chapter 16? Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Do any of you see the names of those men in that chapter? This is the history of the second thing that was in the ark of the testimony. He said, first put in the testimony. Put in the tablets that I'm going to give to you. Put it in there. The second thing was Aaron's rod. In chapter 16, there was a rebellion. There was an uprising in Israel. Some of the leaders of the nation, some of the leaders of the tribes, came to Moses, the man that God had established as their leader, and they rebelled against Moses. Okay? And when they did, God's anger, he got fired up about it. Moses was disturbed by it. All this problems. It's just like any other corporation, church, government that gets out of order. How many of you ever seen a family that was out of order? Just things weren't in order. Things get confused. There's bickering and fighting and war. I've seen it in churches. It's one of the reasons why we have so many denominations. People couldn't put up a leadership. It's why we have an election every 4 years in this nation. Somebody say, thank God. Yes. Yes. So these guys all rose up and they warred against Moses and the leadership that God had established. And it's a clear warning to us also to submit to those who are in authority over us. And in the 17th chapter, that's the 16th chapter is about that rebellion. In the 17th chapter, the heading over that chapter says, the budding of Aaron's staff. So what God said to Moses, this is the plan. There are 12 tribes, which would be like 12 states, 12 families, 12 clans. Get the walking stick. Get the staff. Get the rod of the leader of each tribe, 12 of them. Write their names on the stick, on the walking stick. Excuse me. Some of you know I go to the Boundary Waters every year, and when we go, there are lots of beavers and beaver dams, beaver huts around, and when a beaver finishes with one of those sticks, they gnaw all of the bark off of it, and the sticks are white, real bright yellow. You can tell, and the ends are chewed into points, and they're really cool to bring home for a walking stick. Several years ago, my son brought one home. It's a little taller than a cane, and he wrapped the top of it with rope and made a handle for it. It's just a great walking stick. And some of my friends have taken them and carved on the outside of it or used like a wood-burning tool and burnt their name on it. And so that's what happened. They took the 12 leaders' staves and put them in the tabernacle. Listen now. In front of the Ark of the Witness, the Ark of the Testimony. And Moses said, all right, whoever God chooses from that old dry walking stick, that person's staff is going to bud like it's a fresh tree. So the next morning when they went back, 11 of them were exactly as they had been, with the name carved on, dry, but Aaron's rod, who God chose, miraculously had sprouted, blossomed, and had almonds on it. And Moses said, that's the one that God chose, Aaron. So Aaron and everybody rejoices. There's leadership now. It settles the whole thing. The matter is settled. This is who God has chosen. And God said, take that rod and put it with the Ten Commandments as a testimony, so that from now on everybody knows who's in charge here, that I choose who I will. I anoint who I will. I'm God, you're not. It's not your choice, it's my choice. Aaron's rod budded. Now, please go with me to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. When Israel came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, it wasn't many days before they used up all of the food that they had. And in the 16th chapter of Exodus, it records the miraculous provision by God of manna. How many of you have ever heard the term manna? Manna. God invented manna. It tells us what it tasted like, tells us what it looked like. They would go out in the morning, and when there was dew on the ground, it would be like dew on the ground. They would pick up this, whatever it was, manna, okay? And in chapter 16, verse 31, please, Exodus 16, 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed, tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer, or a container of manna, and keep it for the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come. Everybody say, for generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years. Somebody say 40 years. 40. This is so important here in a moment. I'll preach a little bit about it. Until they came to the land that was settled, they ate manna until they reached the border of Cana. All right. My Bible study. God is working on your testimony. And what was in the ark of the testimony was the word of God, Aaron's rod, Aaron's staff that budded, and a pot of manna. I declare to you that those three things represent what God will do in your life. Simplify it. Whittle it all down, and you're going to find it under one of these three categories. God will speak to you. He'll speak through a song, through a person, through a preacher. God will speak to you and write His word in your heart. God will send somebody, even heathens that don't know Him, people that don't know His word, will respond by the Spirit of God, and there will be a witness that there is a God. There is one true living God. And when His hand is on you, it marks you indelibly. It changes who you are. He's going to send a word, and it may take time for you to mature. You may go through a lot of things in your life. But I'm going to tell you, when it's all said and done, the first thing He'll put in you is His word, His seed. It's what wakes you up. You didn't come to Jesus. He came to you and put His seed in you, and it woke you up. The ground doesn't have life in it. The seed has life in it. I was praying the other morning, and I said, the devil tried to bury me, but he didn't know I was a seed. Worst mistake he ever made. Because if a seed falls to the ground and dies, hallelujah, brings forth lots of seeds. And I'm thinking, I got a testimony working here. There's something happening in my life right now. This is the strangest situation. I have prayed. I've cussed the devil. I've driven out sickness. I've said every confession I can confess. And Terry fell and broke her neck. What are you doing, God? I'm working on your testimony. Yes. Yes. He sees me as the Ark of the Covenant. And He's putting stuff in there for generations to come. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It's never worth it if it's just you. But if you think your grandkids will come out, if you think your children will come out, if you think somebody will come out of this winning because of what you've gone through, you say, I can do this. I'll do this. I can do this. Now, it's the truth. I want every parent in the house to say amen. If this will benefit my children, that's why you work all those hours, sir. That's why you've got calluses on your hands, ma'am. That's why your neck aches and your back hurts and you go to bed late, because you're thinking, if I can do something for the next generation. And I'm telling you, God said, Moses, put it in there for generations to come to see. Woo! Hallelujah! His hand, His finger, He wrote on those stones. Personal. Personal. Man, it's easy to preach when it's personal. It's easy to tell somebody what God's done when it's personal. Do you hear me? This flies in the face of orthodoxy. I am telling you, God is making personal His love and His relationship with every person on this planet, whether they go to a Christian church or not. He's bigger than the church. You don't have to say amen to that. It's all right if you don't believe it. But I believe He's so great that right now He's writing on the hearts of men. I believe that. You can't keep Him from it. Our orthodoxy, our rules, our acceptance of who is and who is not acceptable doesn't stop God. He'll wreck your acceptability button. I need somebody to say amen. Because it's unique. When He did that, when He wrote that on those tables of stone, He was signifying, you are my people. You are my chosen people. I talk to you. I'm sending you a love note. Our neighbors sent a note stuck in the door yesterday to Terry. When she read it last night, she started to cry, overwhelmed with the love of our neighbors. And our neighbors on both sides of us, neither side of us would be acceptable to many of you. One of their lifestyle is different, and others, their beliefs are so different. But they sent a love note saying, we're praying for you. And she started to cry. I said, how about that? How'd they even know? Come to find out, the guy that worked on my house, Dan, your buddy, told them about Terry and started them praying. And I'm going, how about God? How about God putting on people's hearts, touching people's hearts? How does he do that? How does he work out of such terrible situations and make things so warm and loving? It's unique. He's unique. He is my God. He's saying to you, listen, he's saying to you, I'm going to write on your heart so that you know you have a God. My God. Somebody say my God. My God. Not just God. Not just any God, but he's my God. This is my testimony. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Aaron's rod, God's going to have authority. God's going to put order in your life. I'm going to go through this again in another Sunday. But how big is it for God to put your life in order, to give you some sense of authority? Do you know that the Bible speaks of the name of the Lord, and we often use J-E-S-U-S as if it signifies that name? But the concept is bigger than that. It's not just a proper noun. It is authority. By the authority. By the authority. When Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, he wasn't saying every time you say Jesus' name, you're going to get a dime, or every time you say Jesus' name, you're going to get a pink Cadillac in your garage. What he's saying is, when you speak and you're under my authority, it will happen every time. Can I just set that doctrine straight in this church? Because so many people get discouraged because they prayed and they prayed and they kept saying, Jesus, 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 as if it was that. It's not what he's talking about. It's not a proper noun. It's the authority. So when he gives that staff the ability to bud and to bring forth, he's saying, I have chosen who's in charge here. And Jesus is our authority. Hallelujah. And so you'll have a testimony when everything's crazy, when God gives you the right to stand up. Listen to me. When you have the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, you can calm storms. You can raise the dead. You can heal the sick. I am telling you, you can recover. My wife will recover by the authority of him, by the name of him who is above us all. He put that rod that budded is inside this ark. He said, put that authority inside there. Woo! Hallelujah. So it really doesn't matter what goes on the outside. It's what's happening on the inside. I got Jesus on the inside. I've got authority on the inside. Some of you know it. It rises up in you now and then. It doesn't happen all the time. It's not always his will to get you out. Sometimes you got to go through. Somebody help me. You know it's the truth. And then he said, take a pot of manna and put it next to the testimony. So first you got this testimony, which is the word. And then he said, I want you to put Aaron's rod that budded next to it. And then this pot of manna. And in Hebrews chapter 9, what we read was that in this Ark of the Covenant, for just a moment, let's go back. How many of you have a deep sense of appreciation and awe of the Ark of the Testimony? How many of you think that would be neat to see it? I think it's just a really cool piece of furniture, right? And I got to go back now because I'm finishing with this idea, and then I'll let you go for today. The idea is, I valued the furniture and he values the content. And it goes along with so many other verses. I never thought about this glory in all my life. You know, but the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, and God looks on the heart. Jesus said, you clean the outside of the platter, but the inside's dirty. It really doesn't matter if you're white or black. Somebody help me. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Not to God. What matters is your heart, what's inside there. He'll use anybody, everybody, all of us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's incredible. And what I'm showing you right now is this is a deep secret. I'm giving you a revelation. And I thought that the Ark of the Covenant, because of a man touched it, one of David's servants, Uzzah, touched it and died because they weren't supposed to touch it because they placed such value on that piece of golden box. But the truth of the matter is it was what was inside there that God thought was valuable. And listen to this. Start with God who covers us all. How many of you believe he's the authority and he is everywhere? Just shout amen. Is God everywhere? Does he cover everything? He is the Holy Spirit. He is everywhere. Somebody shout praise the Lord. I'm going to try to do this quickly. He is God. He is the Spirit. He is a spirit and he's everywhere. Then he said, so I got you covered. And over, stay with me now, over the tabernacle, he placed a cloud that at night turned into fire. So you have God, and then you have a cloud and fire. And then you have a tent. Watch me now. You got a tent. The tabernacle. And then you come to a layer of blood because they sprinkled blood. And then you have the cherubim overshadowing the mercy seat. You got God. You got the fire. You've got this covering. You've got these angels. You've got this mercy seat. You've got the atonement cover. All to cover your testimony. All to value what you're going through. You think he doesn't know? He knows. I got goosebumps. The hairs on my legs are standing straight out. I'm telling you, he's saying to you, I care what you're going through. I know right where you are, Ray. I know, Bob. I know. I told, what's your name again, sir? George. I couldn't get Gary out of my head to save. I need to go to bed and take a nap. George, what I'm preaching today is one of the greatest revelations that ever come out of darkness in my life. And that is he values your testimony. He values what you're going through. He values what you feel. He values the hell you've been through. He knows the pain. He knows the way that I take. My days are in his hands. My pain is in his mind. He sees me. He's not playing some game. He's not messing around. He sees you. He knows where you're at, and he's covering you, and he's covering you with fire, and he's covering you with his tent of covering. He's going to cover you with his blood. My God. Then he's going to cover you with the angels so that there's nothing that can. And then he's going to put a mercy seat over top of you. Then he's going to put you inside an ark, and we're going to have to start calling it the Ark of the Testimony. Because who you are is a testimony. That's who you are. You're not living for yourself. You're living because God has given you a reason to tell somebody he'll come through for you. He'll take care of you. He will always be the authority in your life. And by God, he will provide. He will provide. No matter how bad it gets, he's going to provide. That's as good as I can do today, y'all. Let's stand, shall we?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.